This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
There's no question about it. Tax reform is a major victory for President Trump after a year in which he's had few victories on Capitol Hill. And no matter how you slice it, this is a difficult process. It always is. Even just convincing your own party which deductions to cut, which deductions to expand, which tax rates, which brackets, all the special interests. It is a hard thing to pull off. The president has done it, and he deserves credit. But I don't sense any popping of the champagne corks, and here's why. The bill is just not that popular with the American public. In fact, that's a bit of an understatement. I was looking at some recent polls. USA Today, 32% support, 48% oppose it. CNN, 33% support the tax bill, 55% oppose it. New York Times and SurveyMonkey, this is very typical, say only one-third of Americans expect their taxes to go down under this legislation. So why is this? Well, for one thing, it's taken a battering in the press. There's been a lot of talk and a lot of articles written about how this mainly helps business. The corporate tax cuts are permanent. The individual tax reductions are not. Also about how some middle-class people may actually pay more, particularly those in high-tax states where the state and local tax deductions have been eliminated, not eliminated as some originally were intending to do. There is also the questions about whether people believe that they will be affected. You know, there's so much cynicism now. Big tax cut, and people say, yeah, well, that'd be for the rich. It won't really affect me. So I think that the negative press coverage is part of it. Part of it is just partisanship. If you look at those polls, a majority of Republicans support the tax bill because, after all, it was written by and will pass with only Republican votes. So naturally, Democrats and some Democratic-leaning independents are not going to like this bill at all. They're not going to like the priorities in the bill. Or they may just not like President Trump and not trust him to do the right thing. And then there's all this stuff about the Corker kickback. It's not really a kickback. It was a change in the treatment of some real estate gains that will help outgoing Senator Bob Corker, who has a big real estate partnership in Tennessee, will also help Donald Trump. I don't think that should be the standard by which it is judged. Whether that particular provision should have been snuck in at the last minute is another question. But, you know, rich people are going to have their taxes cut a lot because they pay a lot of taxes. Now, so whether this will end up being sort of a political win going into 2018, I suppose will depend on not just whether people feel that they are paying less in taxes, but whether or not the whole Republican promise here that cutting corporate taxes will, you know, from 35 to 21% will jumpstart the economy. We'll have an economy that's chugging along at a very high rate now, do even better. And unemployment can't go much lower, but people could get better paying jobs and that sort of thing. So if it boosts the economy, I think people will look back on the first year of Trump and say, well, you know, he didn't get a lot of things done. He never repealed and replaced Obamacare, although this bill does get rid of the health care insurance mandate. But he got his Supreme Court justice, despite the Washington Post report, which he denies, saying that he had second thoughts about Neil Gorsuch. And he cut taxes, and the economy is good. Presidents are ultimately judged on that, and for once, clear away all the other things that are being said about this president, gets this bill, he gets to do a little bit of a victory lap, and he will have delivered on a major campaign promise.
And, of course, when people get their paychecks come February 1, then everybody will get to pop the champagne. The thing that's amazing to me, Scott, is that when, just a little bit less than 50% of the country pays any taxes whatsoever, so what would they expect to get from a tax reform bill? I mean, if you're not putting anything in the game, how do you expect to get anything out of it? So we're talking about 50% of the people pay taxes. So I guess if you pay taxes, then you're regarded as being wealthy, and you don't, you're not supposed to get any break whatsoever, any consideration. It's pretty goofy when you think about it, and especially when you realize that it is the people who have the wherewithal, who have worked hard, and earn their way and build businesses to give us jobs, why not cut them a break and the middle class along the way? I think it's a good thing.
Message and data rates may apply.
Warning. Texting while driving is illegal just about everywhere. So if you want to take advantage of a life-changing LASIK offer, pull over when you can, because a special opportunity is just one text away. The LASIK Vision Institute is offering absolutely free evaluations and dramatically low prices on high-quality LASIK. Text the keyword CLEAR55 to 350350 to get the benefit of FDA-approved LASIK technology that gives the majority of patients 20/20 vision for a fraction of what others charge. Text to schedule your free appointment to see if LASIK is right for you. When you text CLEAR55 to 350350, you'll also get an extra 20% discount off our already low-cost services. We've already performed over 1 million procedures. Today, it's your turn. Discover how you can get the quality LASIK experience you've always wanted for a fraction of what others charge. This great offer is just a text away. Text CLEAR55 to 350350. That's CLEAR55 to 350350.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
6 minutes after the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, you go to BillMartinezLive.com. You want to drop me an email? We always love to hear from you. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com, just like that. A.J. Boehm is with us, New York Times bestselling author of The Arsenal of Democracy, FDR, Detroit, and An Epic Quest to Arm an America at War, and Go Like Hell, Ford, Ferrari, and Their Battle for Speed and Glory at Le Mans. Both books are in development for major motion pictures. And his latest book, The Accidental President, Harry S. Truman, and the 4 months that changed the world. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. A.J. Boehm, welcome to Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
I'm great. I'm honored to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Hey, honor's ours. I appreciate you coming on and talking about Harry S. Truman, the accidental president. How did this come about?
Well, this book sort of fell out of my last book, which fell out of the one before. So I was writing The Arsenal of Democracy, and I found it absolutely amazing. It's a chapter where Harry Truman is this obscure senator in 1943 who comes to investigate the car companies during World War II who are supposed to be building all of these airplanes. In fact, they do in the end. But things weren't going well in 43, and Truman shows up to investigate. And I found it fascinating that here was this guy who's so obscure in 1943 mm-hmm. who becomes the most powerful man in the history of the world 2 years later. That's how it started. So that was about 4 years ago. The sort of light bulb went off in my head, and here we are.
Yeah, and you go, okay, so what happened in those 2 years that puts him on this incredible trajectory?
Well, you have the series. I spelled out in the book, it's like you have these series events. Each one is more unlikely than the other. And so you sort of feel like fate has really put this guy in this position. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to think that Truman, when he was 32 years old, he was an obscure farmer in Missouri with no experience in government. At 38 years old, he was a failed haberdasher with no political experience, a failed, you know, salesman of underwear and socks at 38 years old. And then so this series of events occurs. You know, it would take me quite a bit of time to explain. Mm-hmm. But really, the shocking moment is the 1944 Democratic National Convention in Chicago, where Truman ends up on the 44 ticket sort of by accident. Going into the convention, 2% of Democratic voters thought that Truman should be on the ticket. And yet, due to these very bizarre circumstances, he ends up on the ticket with FDR.
Amazing. So here he is, you know, with a small percent. And, of course, we know about polling these days where things seem to be obviously going in the wrong direction and somehow surprise.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, because when I finished the book, it was I guess last year, and one of the last edits I made in the epilogue, I talk about how Truman. My book's about the first 4 months of the Truman administration. It's not a biography of Truman. It's about the 4 months where more historical stuff happens in this 4 month period than in any other 4 month period in history. However, I'm right in the epilogue. I do mention how Truman wins in 48, and I call it the biggest presidential electioneering upset of all time. And one of the last edits I made was changing that because of the election that we had last year, which is
exactly.
Even a bigger upset to me, at least.
Right. Yeah. Without a doubt. Well, so and here it is. Truman is reluctantly, or you know, against all odds, he's put on the ticket with FDR. FDR dies in office, and Truman is the guy.
That's right. So Truman ends up being vice president. He doesn't want to be the vice president. He doesn't want to be the president.
Mm-hmm.
And 82 days later, FDR dies, and you have this man, this obscure figure. You have to realize, even during the 44 election, only 55% of Americans could even name FDR's running mate. That's mm-hmm. how obscure Truman was.
Uh-huh.
So when he becomes president, you know, there's the shockwave that ripples across the globe that, you know, people are concerned that this is a guy who can do this job at this critical moment in world history. He had never been the mayor of a city, never been the governor of a state, never, no college degree, never had the money to own his own home. And here he is, the president of the United States.
Well, like you say, a guy that kind of comes out of nowhere. I mean, you know, going back, you look at his background. He was too blind, as we know. His glasses were rather thick. So he couldn't even get accepted into West Point. He does serve as an artillery officer, however, as a commander of Battery D in the 129th Field Artillery, 60th Artillery Brigade in the 35th Division. He leaves the Army as a colonel and ran a hugely successful campaign.
Well, correct. What are we talking? 48 now, or
right? Yeah, we're going back. We're going back prior to just recapturing and recounting. You know, his stint in the Army, and he begins to have maybe you start seeing some leadership skills and a little bit of success. And of course, this would have been after all the bad experiences that he's gone through, right?
Yeah, he had been a failure at everything he had ever done. And until the war, he's a captain, and he's leading a battery, and it goes extremely well. That's where he finds himself. He's kind of shocked to realize that, oh, my God, you know, me, Harry Truman, I have leadership skills. I didn't
yes.
know that.
Right.
And, after that, he comes back. He's still obscure in Missouri when his haberdashery fails. It's this the Pendergast machine is what really moves him, essentially gives him his political career. Tom Pendergast runs the Democratic machine in Kansas City. He's this crooked sort of politician kingmaker running, you know, all kinds of illegal rackets. And he picks up this obscure figure and puts him in office. He creates Harry Truman's political career. And Truman carries that same with him, you know, all the way to Washington when Pendergast makes him, you know, gets him elected to the United States Senate. So when Harry is serving his first term as a senator, his patron boss, Tom Pendergast, ends up in Leavenworth in prison for fraud.
Wow.
So even then, even though Truman makes it to Washington, makes it to the Senate, even then, his trajectory after that is still amazingly unlikely. You know, the 1940 election is something I spend a few pages on the book. It's fascinating. The fact that Truman wins that election is fascinating.
Yes, exactly. Well, you know, and against all odds, and as you say, in recounting his background, I mean, you know, he didn't have a college degree, never owned a home, and he's a heartbeat away from the Oval Office, and he ends up in the Oval Office, and as you mentioned also in the book, briefed on important matters like the Manhattan Project.
Correct. I mean, the thesis of the book is that the first 4 months of the Truman administration is the most action-packed and challenging of any four-month period of any presidency. So let me just run down really quickly what happens in this 4 months.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Let's put a bookmark on it, only because we've got to go to break right now, AJ, and I want to not interrupt it, because this is absolutely critical to what's going on. It's the whole premise of your book, you know, and as you say, it is absolutely action-packed, and I want to make sure we have plenty of undivided time and attention for what you're about to share with us. We're talking the accidental president, Harry S. Truman, and the four months that changed the world. A.J. Bain, New York Times bestselling author, is with us. And we'll be back on the other side of the break. Stay with us, America. 15 minutes right now after the top of the hour. This is Bill Martinez. We are live.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Calvin Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Hello, Mr. Anderson. The NSA has noticed how much time you spend on conservative news sites. We have no choice but to consider you a domestic terrorist.
Tired of your internet activity being monitored by Big Brother? Get VirtualShield.com, the world's easiest-to-use virtual private network. Browse the web anonymously, leaving pesky advertisers and spies in the dust. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Excuse me, sir. Could you take a picture of my family and me with my cell phone?
Sure, Mrs. Anderson. Smile for the camera.
Too bad hackers never get proper permission to access your cell phone or computer camera. Anyone is or could be susceptible to illegal spying. That's why VirtualShield.com has developed Identisafe, a new security software that blocks camera and microphone access from unwanted spies. Get started today at VirtualShield.com. Take advantage of our free 30-day trial. VirtualShield.com. You have the right to remain private.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Have a holy, jolly Christmas. And in case you didn't hear, oh, by golly, have a holly, jolly Christmas this year.
Yeah, in case you didn't get the memo, make it a Merry Christmas, huh? Bill Martinez here as we wrap up even Hanukkah tonight. 19 minutes after the top of the hour. Good to have you along with us. Our conversation with A.J. Boehm continues. The author of the book, Accidental President Harry S. Truman and the 4 months that changed the world. An incredible 4 months, A.J. I mean, it was like this presidency was on steroids. I mean, so much to deal with. I mean, well, first of all, he comes in, he takes over for FDR upon his passing, comes in as a bit of a reluctant vice president, didn't want to be vice president, as you said, much less president. Now he's thrown into the Oval Office, and we're coming to the end of World War II and gathering into the Cold War. And here he is. I mean, he's at the spearhead of it all.
That's right. Picking up on where we left off, here's a guy who's never been a mayor of a city, never governor of a state, no experience in international relations, no college degree, ends up by mistake, by accident, and those are his words, in the Oval Office. And so the book is about the first 4 months of the Truman administration, and here's what happens during that 4 months. You have the collapse of Nazi Germany, the founding of the United Nations, firebombings of Japanese cities that killed thousands of civilians, the liberation of Nazi death camps, the suicide of Hitler and the execution of Mussolini, the capture of Nazi war criminals like Hermann Göring. You've got the fall of Berlin, victory at Okinawa, and the Potsdam Conference when Truman has to go over to Soviet-occupied Germany and meet with Stalin and Churchill. Then, of course, you have the first atomic explosion, the nuclear destruction of Hiroshima and Nagasaki, the beginning of the Cold War, and the beginning of the nuclear arms race. All that happens in 4 months.
Amazing. And so what happens then at this point? I mean, with his popularity, how is he being judged by the American people? I mean, within 4 months.
Exactly. Now, the trajectory, it's kind of a perfect narrative arc. It's kind of like a Rocky Balboa story where you have this figure come out of nowhere and accomplish something amazing. So the book is not about the whole Truman administration presidency. Again, it's just about these 4 months. When he begins, the nation is in shock because nobody knows anything about this guy, Truman. And by the end of the 4 months, he has an 87% approval rating. So his approval rating at the end of 4 months was higher than FDR's had ever been. Think about that.
Wow.
That's, you know, the inspiring nature of this man and this story.
Nothing like having the gift of leadership that he realized later on in life that he had. And, of course, now in this position in, you know, the number one office in the planet, he's exercising his skill set to such a degree that it becomes very obvious. And, of course, became known for, you talk about the art of leadership is where the buck ended. It ended with him, right?
That's right. The buck stops here. And what that meant was that Truman understood the job, the responsibility he had. And so if there was a mistake, he took responsibility for it. If he said something wrong, he took responsibility for it. He never passed the buck. That's what the buck stop here means. And, you know, really, we know that this guy had was completely unprepared to do this job. We know he had no real, you know, college education or anything like that. But what he did have was these rural 19th century American values, this sort of constitution of a man, or, you know, the fabric of a man.
Right.
And these were his guiding principles that saw him through. And, you know, these are the principles that I think our leaders could use more of today. Things like honesty is the best policy. And, you know, can you imagine? These are the things that he learned as a kid. Honesty is the best policy. Do the right thing. Lead by example. Think about it.
Yeah. And what a, you know, what a leader and an admirable leader he was with these kind of values that were, you know, put in this country at a time when it was really needed, you know, and just an incredible example. And as you say, you get that that kind of grassroots, that Main Street mentality. And I see a little bit of that coming out, you know, these days, because I think Main Street has been ignored and they're asking basic questions. But back then with Harry S. Truman, you had somebody there in the White House. Now, you talk about his lack of experience. And one of the things that I've talked about extensively here recently, AJ, is that, you know, I think anybody that becomes president has a limited understanding of the office. I mean, no matter how prepared, you don't know until you know. And it's almost like you go into the office as an on-the-job training experience. Because how do you know? I mean, and you think of Harry S. Truman, like as you said, what was his foreign policy chops like? You know, very limited. And now he comes in, it's the end of the war, and he's meeting with all these heads. I mean, with Winston Churchill and Stalin. I mean, talk about zero to hero in lickety-split time. I mean, it's amazing. So you better get briefed up and learn real quick.
Exactly. One of the things I try to do in the Accidental President is to really reconstruct not just the events that happened, but what it was like to be president of the United States in the climactic months of World War II. And, you know, we have all the transcripts of the conversations, and we have the minutes of the meetings, and we have the State Department and all the documents that were given to Truman. So, you know, I could really sort of reconstruct exactly what his life was like so that the reader can walk through his footsteps as he's learning what it is to be president. We have the letters he wrote to his mother and his daughter explaining what his life was like. There's so much documentation to really create an intimate picture of what Truman was experiencing.
Well, what did he say to his mother and his daughter?
Oh, so many things. But you know what? One of my favorite things, he wrote his mother during the first week of his presidency. Mm-hmm. This as one example. Quote, "I told my press secretary that all my family tells the truth all the time." I love that because that's true. That's who he was.
Right.
You know, he also was very concerned. He was a very good father. And he was very concerned about how his fame and this presidency was going to affect his daughter. Mm-hmm. And there are these very wonderful letters that he wrote to her. Because during the first 4 months, after 2 months into his presidency, his wife and his daughter went home to Missouri. And he was alone in the White House. And he was terribly lonely and very stressed out. And he was keeping a diary. And he was writing letters. And we have all this material to really understand what was going on through his head. And his letters to his daughter are so moving.
Really? Give us an example. Which one of your favorites?
Well, he writes his daughter the day his daughter leaves Washington to go home from Missouri. She was a junior at George Washington University at the time. So, she, by the way, the day after Roosevelt's funeral, when she goes back to school, Margaret Truman describes what it's like to go back to school. You know. That now that suddenly her father is the president of the United States.
She's the first daughter now, huh?
Yeah, there's packs of reporters and photographers following her from class to class. She can't believe it. So when she goes home to Missouri, the day she leaves, the most popular newspaper columnist of the day was Drew Pearson. And he wrote this column that said that Mr. Truman was upset that his daughter was being a social butterfly during these climactic months of the war. And that's why she was leaving Washington, which was untrue. And Truman was so upset that he wrote this letter to his daughter and just said, "I am trying to, you know, keep my wits about me. And that's all I can ask you to do is just try to keep your balance, your emotional balance." You know, and he writes that to her. It's just so moving.
You know, you imagine when you're in that position and you're in the crosshairs as the president of the United States and you've got the media, naysayers, people that don't want you to be successful for whatever reason. And you're having to contend with that. And meanwhile, you're still a husband, a father, and, oh, yeah, president of the United States. What responsibility, huh? Well, we got 30 seconds left here, AJ. I know your book's available at the usual places. We'll link it on our website. What's the big takeaway for our audience you want them to get?
Well, let's see. I want to read it. This is a quote from the Washington Post. I'm going to read it as quickly as you can. This is Truman during the 2 months in. "The mood of the United States is one of extraordinary friendliness. Americans appear to be more at ease with each other. They're more inclined to talk about national affairs and less inclined to argue. In short, there's a cordiality in the air this country hasn't known in years." That was the impression of Truman 2 months in. Can you imagine that America today?
Attention to anybody of any age who takes any prescription medications. How would you like to save up to 85% on almost every prescription drug you're currently buying at your local pharmacy? We're talking about saving you real money on most of the top prescription drugs. Up to 85% savings. Asthma medications, you can save up to 85%. High cholesterol and high blood pressure meds, save up to 85%. And many, many more. This is not a hard-to-use discount card. These are real savings on prescription meds delivered to your door in days. We have expert prescription consultants to help you right now. It's a free service. So call now and learn how you can save up to 85% on most prescription drugs.
Call now, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337, 800-362-9337. That's 800-362-9337.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-765-9681 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-765-9681. Again, that's 800-765-9681.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come, ye, oh, come, ye to Bethlehem.
Your program. Your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Come and behold him.
A little Amy Grant music here for you, huh? Little songs for the season. Bill Martinez back with you, 28 minutes before the top of the hour. As we wrap up Hanukkah tonight and head into the final Advent week of Christmas, time to anticipate the good news. It was interesting. I had a chance to go to St. Patrick's Cathedral on Sunday, and Cardinal Dolan was the officiant. And he is such a character. I had to laugh so much because they were talking about the third week of Advent and the candle being rose-colored, and he was wearing a rose-colored vestment. He said that one of the priests had asked him where he got that vestment from, if it was from... you know, from what's the women's clothing store, the secret place, what is it called? Help me out here, Scott. You can't help me. Okay. Victoria's Secret. Steve Mariotti's on with us. He can help us out here. Thank you, Steve. All of a sudden, it's all the medication here. As you can tell, I'm battling a little bit of a cold. But, yeah, one of the priests asked, where did you get that vestment from? Did you get it from Victoria's Secret? Quite the character. But Steve Mariotti, as I mentioned, he joins us now. He's back with us. Talk about his latest book, An Entrepreneur's Manifesto. Steve, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you?
Bill, great. I'm really glad to be back on. Thanks.
Hey, you know, I think this is an exciting time. I mean, regardless of the negativity that's being put out there regarding tax reform, you know, as you and I discussed last time, I am so excited about the future that lies ahead for America and its citizens and the dreamers. Because, and when dreamers, I'm not talking about DACA, I'm talking about the entrepreneurial dreamers who wake up at 3 o'clock in the morning and just have these ideas that are getting ready to bust through given the proper opportunity. And I see that the ground is being tilled in such a way to where some of these incredible dreams that have just been waiting to be manifest are about ready to be planted and exposed here.
I couldn't agree more. I think we're going to get a huge burst in creativity and productivity. Uh-huh. And if this is all the president does, it's huge. I couldn't be more excited about the tax legislation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you consider productivity, I believe at the very foundation of one's happiness is being productive. I think that part of the frustration that America went through the last 8 years was that it had all this pent-up productivity. And we went through it during the Carter administration. Jimmy Carter didn't understand it. He just thought people were being a bunch of whiners. Actually, what they wanted, they just wanted to get to work. You know, give me a job. Let me have a job. Let me do what I do best and get out of the way. And now that opportunity, the mere suggestion that that is possible, and beyond the suggestion has been what this president has done in his first year. And the first year is not even completed yet in getting some of these regulations out of the way. You know, Steve, not that long ago, there was a young girl reported she couldn't even open up a lemonade stand in her hometown because of the silly regulations. I mean, what's wrong with our country if we can't even do something that simple?
I totally agree. I mean, it's just bizarre. I'm 64, and I thought, you know, I might not ever see this day or this time where people are talking not only about cutting taxes, but also simplifying the tax code, which is presently a monstrosity of 4,958 pages and 76,000 pages that you have to read as supplementary opinions. So, this whole deregulation and simplifying and lowering the tax code, I think it's just beautiful. If we can get the get rid of the deficit that we run every year, that would be another huge breakthrough.
Well, and Donald Trump, like most business people, and you and I think the same way, is that you can get yourself out of some of these problems. I mean, in large part, production is a big forgiver of sins. You know, you get the GDP up there, you can start forgiving some sins. Now, that's not to say that's the only thing. I mean, there needs to be some fiscal discipline and other things that we need to consider in true reformation and get to that point to where we can get this deficit, get a handle on it, and do something to chip away at this $20 trillion immediate indebtedness, because we talk about that. But the other things that we're not even focusing on, I meant to discuss with Lou Euler this morning, was that we're forgetting the big number, which is when you add up all the numbers, we're talking over $200 trillion in liabilities that are involved here. But, I mean, you know, it's like a little bit of a game of sleight of hand. But the problem is still the same, and that is that we have economic problems here in River City.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, if you look at the numbers, if we can get productivity up, even improving it 1% per year, it's going to take care over 10, 20 years, most of the, much of the debt that we have, which incidentally is $21 trillion now. Mm-hmm. And as you said, at least another, I think the official number is $78 trillion of off-balance sheet debt. Mm-hmm. This whole, focus on the entrepreneur and how to improve people's productivity on the margin, which is basically what you're doing with the tax code, it's just a really beautiful moment, and I'm really excited.
Well, and it couldn't happen at a better time. You've got millennials now coming into the labor force, and they come in with an attitude. They want the corner offices. They want to be up there, you know, enter in as vice presidents and that. But it's like, wait a minute, we got something better than the quarter office. We've got you being the captain of your own ship and being large and in charge. How do you like them apples? And they're pretty excited about that potential, aren't they?
Absolutely. And I think the key statistic is that if you ask young people what they want to be, 70% cite being an owning their own business, which I know in my generation, it was something like 12%. So we've had this whole generational change of a change in viewpoint for how the entrepreneur is viewed.
Well, the other thing, too, is the technology is such, Steve, that has complemented all this. It's really advanced the opportunity and get kids to thinking that, yeah, they could have their own businesses. And it is surprising when you hear these kids talk. They don't talk about, hey, I want to go and work for somebody. It's their own dreams that they're articulating. And I think that's exciting. I mean, this is a lot about productivity. I mean, here we are in the first year of this new administration that the CBO said there's no way Donald Trump's talking, you know, 3-5% of GDP. Nah, they kind of laughed at him in much the same way that Barack Obama laughed at Mitt Romney when he brought up the Russians. But look who's laughing now. But even after the empirical evidence of two quarters of 3+% GDP, and oh yeah, by the way, that's in the midst of two hurricane natural disasters and trying to help out Puerto Rico, by the way. We still have 2-3%. What would have happened if we didn't have that to contend with, right?
Exactly. I mean, there's really nothing to hold us back. I mean, I think we could start to think of 6-8% increases. There's really no reason why, particularly with the acceleration of technology, which helps everyone's life. Mm-hmm. I know when I was in Vietnam, Hanoi, I was meeting with the head of the, believe it or not, communist government there.
Mm-hmm.
And they asked me what they could do to improve their country. And I said, well, you know, get rid of all the communist stuff and let people be free. And they all
right. Without a doubt. More from Steve Mariotti after this.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance, it's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Most of us like to be out in the sun. That's why sunscreen and other safety measures are key to protecting your skin from aging and cancer. The FDA recommends using a sunscreen with an SPF of 15 or higher. Also, look for broad spectrum on the label. That means both harmful ultraviolet A and B rays are blocked. Remember, SPF plus broad spectrum equal healthy fun in the sun. Visit www.fda.gov/sunscreen for more information. A message from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.
If you or someone you care about loves outdoor adventure, then check out Slingbow.com for some unique holiday gift ideas. That's Slingbow.com, where we have some innovative new products for the archer, hunter, or bow fishing enthusiast in your family. Now through January, use the promo code HOLIDAY to get free shipping in the U.S. or Canada. And from all of us at Slingbow Industries, have a safe, joyous, and peaceful holiday season.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
One small child in a land of a thousand. One small dream of a savior tonight.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez live.
Hey, we're back with you 14 minutes before the top of the hour, America. Bill Martinez here. Well, as a teacher of at-risk youth for over 30 years and founder of the Network for Teaching Entrepreneurship, Steve Mariotti has witnessed firsthand how entrepreneurship education inspires individuals to create pathways out of poverty for themselves. Mariotti shares riveting stories of young lives forever changed by entrepreneurship education and examines the latest research on social, governmental, and cultural attributes most likely to foster the critical entrepreneurial mindset. And Steve, your book, An Entrepreneur's Manifesto, from which I just read on the inside jacket, is, is a perfect time, you know, in terms of the way things are coming together here with our economy, this president. You know, this is a time where there's going to be a lot of new innovation, great opportunities, especially, as you say, for millennials who have such an increasing number that want to, you know, be the captains of their own ship and have their own businesses. Boy, it couldn't be a better time than right now, where opportunity coming together with the, you know, a government, a mindset, and leadership to make this happen, right? Steve, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Phil?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I couldn't hear you there for a second. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry about that. I think it's an incredible time to be alive for everyone, particularly in America. I think we're going into a period of renaissance, and it's going to be led by the American entrepreneur. And I'm just looking forward to seeing all the breakthroughs that are going to be made over the next decade.
Mm. Now, some people are concerned about technology, the age of artificial intelligence, and you point out that it is shrinking the job market. But like anything, if something recedes, then something is expanding. So the lookout here for would-be entrepreneurs is to see where there is market expansion taking place, right?
Absolutely. I think artificial intelligence is going to lead to a whole bunch of industries that we can't forecast right now, and many job opportunities are going to be created. And a lot of jobs that are really boring or unpleasant to do will be eliminated. And I think higher order jobs, more intellectual jobs, funner jobs will be created. So I'm a big fan of the boom in artificial intelligence.
Yeah, so we're so what you're telling people is don't freak out. You know, get ahead of the wave. But if you insist on having it your way, then you could very well be like the Underwood typewriter, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, whenever there's been breakthroughs in technology historically, people have always been nervous about it. They're feeling anxiety about it. It's normal. But in every single case, it led to a great improvement in living standards, particularly for poor people. Mm-hmm. And I think that this is going to be a opportunity for our country to, hopefully over the next decade or so, to eliminate poverty as we presently know it, and to really go into a society of abundance.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you say eliminate poverty, and that has been, you know, a forever ambition since the 60s, again, when we revisited the war on poverty with Lyndon Baines Johnson, and after $22 trillion, we went from 15 to 15.1%. So there had to be a better way to invest that money, I think, retrospectively, considering that. But so, you know, here is the opportunity for those that want to get themselves out of poverty. If you don't have a trajectory to get you into the NBA or the NFL or some other professional sports team, there's other opportunities here if you're willing to do the work. It's not going to be handed to you in much the same way as it's not handed necessarily to gifted athletes, right?
Absolutely. And another issue we all need to begin to examine and talk about is once somebody gets into the welfare system, it's almost impossible to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
One of the creepiest federal laws is that someone who's in the welfare system or receiving government money for disability can't have more than $2,000 in their bank account.
Mm-hmm.
And the banks are automatically programmed to take money, anything above $2,000 out. So people are discouraged from saving or from getting married. You can't, you know, there's all kinds of restrictions on being in certain types of government assistance if you're married. And we've really got to think of how to help people get out of, you know, what almost like a cult of the welfare system.
Well, it's modern-day slavery, Steve, is what it comes down to. Anything that inhibits one's liberty, it becomes that. And but this is social engineering by, you know, the would-be controllers there in central control in D.C. that think they know better. And what they've been doing is rewarding all the wrong behavior. That's what's freaking them out about an entrepreneurial president who's come in to shake things up, to say, look at, you know, those days are over. We're instead of helping and doing what most Americans want their taxes to do, to give people a hand up, we're actually putting a boot to their throats and holding them down.
That's exactly right. And, you know, it's really a huge, huge mistake that was done in the 60s where they began to centralize the power of the federal government and just moved trillions of dollars of resources from local towns and communities, churches and synagogues and Boys and Girls Clubs and all these voluntary associations were solving problems. They took the resources through taxation and artificial credit expansion, you know, printing money, essentially, and in the 60s pretended to use it to try to end poverty. But it really, I think, made things worse. I think that was a real tragedy. And maybe we'll get a chance to rethink those policies now and how to help poor people get out of poverty using ownership and entrepreneurship.
Well, Steve, I don't mean to sound cynical, but I don't think it was government's intention to ever rid our country of poverty. If they did, I mean, it's kind of like the healthcare system. You know, we come up with this elaborate healthcare program, and we've been dealing with it for seven years, and there was no adjustment in it. It was just like, okay, well, we're going into a cement wall, so we're just going to keep on going and just let people just collide into the cement wall. When they knew where the trajectory was, they knew that if adjustments were not made, it was going to end up where it is today. And the war on poverty, the same thing, as what we understood, from documentation down the road. Lyndon Baines Johnson pushed the war on poverty for one thing, and that was to get Democrats reelected. That's what this was all about. It was about control. It wasn't about really helping people out. If they did, the black people and black majority, but others that found themselves in poverty would be feeling a lot better about the program. But they're just saying, hey, look, you haven't given us enough money. Well, you know, it's kind of hard to say when, you know, we the people have been paying $22 trillion toward the effort, and you say we haven't paid enough money. Something systemically is wrong beyond the money.
Absolutely. And the really sad thing is there are so many people that were locked into the welfare system. And some of our greatest entrepreneurs, I think, would have come out of these really low-income neighborhoods. My experience is that children that grow up street smart with some help, they can turn that into business smart.
Right.
And tragically, they would slip into this cult-like system of the welfare system. And then legally, they wouldn't be able to start a business, get a job, get a 1099, get a W-2. It really is a legalized form of oppression that has, I think, just done huge damage to our country the last 50 years. And I'm really hoping we can take a relook at that. And because the talent in low-income communities and minority communities in low-income neighborhoods is huge. And
exactly.
If we can tap into that, we're going to go into an era of great achievement and abundance, and I think a lot of happiness will come out of it.
Right, exactly. Well, Steve Mariotti, there's lots of potential, as you and I would agree on, and I'm with you, buddy. I got to tell you, organizations like yours and others have been fighting the good fight at the ground level there in these poverty-stricken areas. But we need to keep it a focus. And if we've ever had an opportunity before, we've got a president in office who understands entrepreneurship. He celebrates it, embraces it. And I think we can move the ball, but we just need to keep the focus on and the spotlight on this potential opportunity that's lying dormant, that's being oppressed right now, particularly in these poverty-stricken areas. Steve Mariotti, his book, An Entrepreneur's Manifesto, linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Also available at all the usual places. And for you millennials, you want to get your hand on it. This will be a big help for your future. Steve Mariotti, thank you for being with us.
Guys, wouldn't your wife or girlfriend love it if you treated her to the very best this Christmas? Well, you can, and you don't even have to go out of your way. We're talking about the world's softest pajamas, available exclusively at Pajamagram.com. That's Pajamagram.com. Created by a team of dedicated pajama experts, the world's softest pajamas are lighter than a cloud, softer than a bunny, like cashmere, only better. She'll love the way the world's softest pajamas feel, and you'll love the way they look. More than a gift, they're a feeling, an invitation to relax a little longer. The world's softest pajamas are available only at Pajamagram.com. Visit today and give her a gift that keeps on giving to both of you. Plus, you don't even have to wrap, because every Pajamagram includes free gift packaging, and Christmas delivery is guaranteed. So visit Pajamagram.com or call 1-800-GIVE-PJs.
Bad.